The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, everybody. Good to see you. If you're a longtime fan, you're like, this looks different. That's not Mike's background. It's not. I just had my 50th birthday. So if you don't want any coaching from an old man, you got to go to a different podcast now. It's officially old. But we are traveling. My wife and son are at the Lego store currently playing. And I'm like, step it out. So we're going to, I'm kind of on the move. I'm at the beautiful, I don't know what this mall is, but it looks a little bit like this, or at least the tiny part I'm in. So we're going to try it out this, and we'll see if we can have some fun. Lindsay said today's topic is niches. So if that's the case, let's jump right in, girl. What we got?
All right. And happy belated birthday. all right. So today we're jumping in. I wanted to know, Cleaning Nation, what niche help do you need? Tongue twister. And Juliana Marie in the Facebook group, she asked a question I think we get a ton. She said, I'm in commercial, mostly offices, but right now I'm going to take any work given to me. That's her mindset. She's like, I'm commercial, but how do I niche down when I feel like I have to take any work given to me, Mike?
Such a great question. So first of all, sounds like she's got this, but I just want to be clear for everyone else. Commercial or residential are not niches. Those are big, fat oceans, right? So I'll start there. So it's okay. So I certainly, no matter what size or how desperate you feel like you need to take everything you can, I would, residential is fine, commercial is fine. Both is not great, right? So for us, what we coach is you definitely want recurring revenue, right? So lifetime value is kind of what we're looking for. And I know it can be so tempting to take one-time cleans and stuff like that. But from my experience, having done this quite a while in the business for 25 years and coaching owners of cleaning companies for almost a decade, it's like drugs, right? So you've got problems, you don't feel great. And again, I've not been a user of drugs, but I observe, I watch things. And most people aren't like, hey, my life is great and I'm super balanced, everything's great, I'm gonna try some cocaine. It's, there's some sort of need that's not being filled. And I look to drugs to do it. But the problem is, what happens is we've got that base problem that's going on and we use drugs. And then what happens is we wake up 6 months later and we have the same problem that we had before. And it's now coupled with a drug problem. So certainly if you just want to short-term solve, I'm pretty confident from what I see about drugs. If you want to feel good right now and not worry about any consequences in the future, they're an awesome solution. But if you're planning to live past, you know, noon, long-term, not great. So one-time cleans can be the exact same thing, right? They can get you some cash today, but it's just so much work, right? You've got the lifetime value might be $400, but you've got to get the lead. You've got to have a sales conversation. You have to go out. You have to give them a bid. You have to get them accepted. You have to collect the money. You have to invoice them. You have to put them on the schedule. You have to get the work done. Like, there's just all these, the risk of a bad complaint or somebody saying it's no good and not paying you or wanting a discount is like quadruple with one-time clean. So there's all this work and lifetime value is $400. Whereas on residential, if you sell a job for $400 a month and they stay for 2 years, it's about the same amount of work. You just have 10,000. Obviously, you have to do the work over and over, but the selling it, the bidding it, the collecting it, the getting them on the schedule, all that is streamlined. But the same amount of sales work is, you know, 20, 30 times the lifetime value. So yes, getting one-time work can get a couple bucks in the bank, but it's kind of like, that's how most people stay broke, right? They buy lottery tickets. They're like, they waste their money. If you just invest in a real investment, you could actually stop being broke, but you keep buying lottery tickets, just never pay off, but give you that hope of like, for 10 seconds, I might be a billionaire, right? And then you scratch and you're not, or you get another dollar and you get that a lot, you know, it's not great. So the problem is, if just taking money from anyone that waved it at you was, had no redeeming qualities, was all bad, it'd be super easy. No one would do it, right? If drugs made you feel terrible and they were bad, you need to do them. They've got there's this great short-term benefit, but a massive long-term cost. That's exactly what it is with, to a lesser degree. I wouldn't say it's a great short-term benefit. It's a bunch of work with a lot of risk for some cash up front, but it costs you the ability to build a business, right? It's very difficult. sell one. There's nothing to sell, right? If you do a bunch of one-time work, you're like, I want to sell my business. What business? You did a bunch of work one time, and probably no profit unless you did the work yourself. There's just nothing to sell. So it's just a killer long-term, and the cash that you get, it feels good. And people, like, what drives me nuts is like, I worked Saturday for 8 hours and I made $1,000. And maybe that's the case, but I'm always like, great. What was your revenue for the month? And how much was your profit for the month? And their profit for the month's like $2,300 or $5,300, but they worked 70 hours a week for four. You know, it turns out they're making $8 an hour. So people get confused on one-time work on, I billed it at $80 an hour. I understand, but let's look at how many total hours you put in and how many dollars you made. If you do the math, at anywhere close to $80 an hour. So we've got to start with the reality about one-time cleans. I don't even know if there's a question in there, and if there is, I'm almost certain I didn't answer it. But I wanted to lay the foundation for everything we're talking about today. You tell us where to go next, Lindsay.
All right. Yeah, I think you addressed the mindset of I'll take any work that's given to me, because a lot of times any work will be one-time move in, move out, one-time construction, cleanup, cleaning jobs, and it definitely leads to that problem you just discussed. So I'm going to move on to the next question.
That made me think of one more thing. There's one other nefarious things about one-time cleans. And if you see my eyes darting because I'm sitting here screaming like a lunatic in public, and I just want to make sure I'm not, like, you know, halfway respectful to the other people. And I know this is a terrible angle. Like, this is probably the angle. I don't know. It's a better angle, but it's uncomfortable to hold myself that way for 20 minutes. So sorry, I look old and wrinkly, but you do it the best you can with what you got. Okay. So the other nefarious thing is, just had a mom and daughter walk by, give me the eye, like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just talking to people here. Nothing to see here, family. Other nefarious thing about one-time cleans, are super easy to get, right? So, and people will be like, oh, I got an in. Oh, everyone's got a realtor that they know. It's like, they're going to give me all their one-time. There's a reason they're easy to get. They suck. Nobody wants them. People quit. They go out of business. So again, superficially, getting a job easy to get is a good thing, right? Long-term, you got to ask yourself why. You know, I give a lot of dating analogies. You're trying to date someone, like, absolutely, I could be there anytime, anywhere. I got nowhere to be and all day to get there. And you're the only guy that's asked me out in 6 years. I would love to go on a date. It's like, okay, that's nice. I didn't get rejected. It's a little bit of red flag as to why she's so, like, this is her only opportunity. So just remember when you're like, but I got a friend that's a hookup. Yeah, everybody's got a friend that's a hookup in the space, because nobody wants to do it. Or if they do, they go out of business quickly. So what seems like a green flag, like they're easy to get, is actually a red flag if you just spend 2 seconds thinking about it. Okay, now we can go on. I just wasn't quite done preaching.
Hey, amazing people. You may have noticed we don't sell a dadgum thing on this podcast. We don't allow ads. The only ask I can ever have of you guys is, if you dig the show, for you to spread the word and share so we can change as many lives as possible. Literally, it'll take you 5 seconds to give us a great review, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate you as a listener and value the gift of your kind words. Now, back to the show.
All right, so the next question, it isn't really a question, it's more of a situation. It comes from The Green Home on Facebook, and they handle mostly residential homes. They got their niche down to retirees and a few of their kids' homes, which is great. But they say that their passion is actually short-term vacation rentals. They love doing that, but the problem is it's seasonal. So Mike, can you advise people that when they want to do the seasonal work, how can they balance those short-term rentals with the recurring revenue, the steady income?
Gosh, that's a good question. So I always get real nervous when people start talking about their passion, because what that almost always works out to be is the story that they tell themselves when they're in pain. So a lot of times people go, I love cleaning, Mike. I just love it. But they don't, right? They're saying that because they do enjoy cleaning a little bit of their own houses, but they didn't get into the cleaning business to clean, right? They want to be owners. So perfect example, I used to really love cars, and I owned a car dealership, and I literally owned thousands of cars. And it was just what you think, like, oh my gosh, it's so cool. You can, like, you know, 100 cars, you can pick any car you want, take the best one home every night. Well, you know what happened? I did that, and every car, like, God dang it, it's not set to my things, and it's not synced with my phone, and I gotta move my God dang garage door opener. Where's the keys, and how does this stupid thing work? Like, and now I'm so glad I sold our car dealership. We bought, like, the most boring car in the world, and I just drove that thing. It's like, it all set up the way I want it. I don't have to refigure out how everything works. It was easy and comfortable and not sexy at all. And that's that. So I thought I loved cars, and I do like cars, although less after a car dealership. I love cars, I own a car dealership, but being in the car business really had nothing to do with the car dealership. So most of us love the vacation, we love vacations, and we love the idea of a vacation rental. And we might think that same thing, by the way, we've owned several vacation rental homes. And it's always like, now when I go to them, they're always a job because something's wrong. I don't worry about it. As opposed to if I go to someone else's house, I'm like, hey man, you should fix that. Like, not my problem. So we kind of conflate, I love the concept of vacation rentals, or maybe owning one or using one, or like we like it with, I want to clean vacation rental houses. Because when you get right down to that, it's a lot of stress. And you get to check it in, it's their vacation, it's stuff. And the lifetime value can be okay, right? Like they're kind of yellow for me, just recurring residential, same bill every month, same work every month. They stay for years. That's just like an ATM for a business owner. That's the best. One-time jobs are the worst. I wouldn't take them. Vacation rentals, kind of in the middle. If it's a place like Park City, Utah, right? Where it's like people are really into it during the ski months and then they're not really into it. Like if it's super seasonal, that's just crushing for a business, right? So some areas, Florida, maybe Florida gets so hot in the summer. If you are in an area where it's like vacation rentals all the time, it's not seasonal, I'm a little more open to that. But the problem is it can be cyclical. So you can start building a $1 million business and then, you know, God forbid COVID hits or people stop vacationing or the economy drop. Like just stuff can happen where those go first. So it's a little more risky. And when you're seasonal, it's wildly risky. And it's very, very difficult to scale. And even if you can scale, it's impossible. Because say you go to 10 grand a month to 50 grand a month. How do you get to a 5, 10, how do you get to be a real business, right? It's almost impossible because you got to fire people. And what happens is you're making all the money, you're working like a dog. And sometimes you're making decent money, sometimes not. And then you're starving almost all the time in the winter and there's nothing to do. And it's just, again, you like vacation rentals, or you like specifically cleaning vacation rentals maybe. But when you look at the whole business wrapped around it, that's a different kettle of fish, right? That's like me hearing a singer and you go, I'm in love with Mariah Carey because when I hear her sing, she makes me feel a certain way. It's like, well, that's different than dating her in real life. I'm sure she's a person that's off and foibled and, you know, maybe wouldn't make me feel that way all the time, right? So there's a difference between enjoying a piece or an aspect of something and saying, this is what I want to model a business on, right? Like just because vacation rentals are sexy in regard, just like car dealerships are sexy in regard, it's a terrible business. So vacation rental, I wouldn't say it's a terrible business, but the allure is often a lot greater than the day-to-day, especially for the cleaner, because it's just a lot of, I gotta be here, and I broke that, and everything's an emergency, and you gotta do it in this very short time frame. So the answer, that's the philosophical answer. The direct answer is twofold. If it's, you're one of the very few places where there's not a lot of seasonality, just, you can do it. Just know that something goes bad in the economy, you're going to get hit first and it's going to come back last. So your business is, if you're looking to build something to sell, probably not. It's the worst category. If you're just looking to make money today, not as bad. If you're in the vast majority of VRBOs where it's very seasonal, I personally would limit that to 20-25% of my revenue. So that part goes from 10 grand to 50 grand, but I'm doing 100 grand a month or 200 grand a month, it's like, okay, it's not that big of a deal. I would never allow that to be half my revenue or even all of my revenue. So that's a way you can kind of, I don't say have your cake and eat it too, but mitigate risk is probably a adult way to say that.
Yeah, I'm glad you put that in terms of percentages, because that was going to be my next follow-up question for the green home is, okay, like, so they have the other niche, which is the retirees, like, you know, maybe they should focus on that a bigger chunk. Like you're saying, it shouldn't be, the vacation rental shouldn't be more than 50% of the business. So I think that's really good. You put actual numbers on that so people can gauge where they're at. Yeah. I mean, COVID totally wiped out that whole industry for a while. So anything that can get wiped out, that's pretty scary. I wouldn't want to put 50% of my business on there. Makes sense.
So two quick things before I move on, because I've got one more. One, for all of you. When I do this, I get balloons, or I get, I don't know, when I do this, I get a thumbs up. Like, for those of you guys that are watching, like, yeah, there you go. Zoom did this virtual thing. I don't know, whatever. I'm a tech idiot. I got to get Jackson to solve that. I tried to fix it. I'm too dumb. All right. So the two things I was going to talk about before Zoom hijacked me with balloons. What, they knew it was my birthday. Like, oh, well, there you go. Happy birthday. The two things I want to hit is one, for those of you like, well, I didn't have that in COVID. I still got crushed. We coached before, during, and after COVID, and our clients did great. Australians had a tougher time. Really tough time. Canadians had a tougher time. But our U.S. clients, residential and commercial, we got them through. They did great. The guys that were in vacation rentals, we got them through, but it was by getting out of vacation rentals and getting the regular recurring payment. So by doing just a bunch of other stuff. Okay. So that's the first thing. The second thing is I want to be super clear. There's really three levels when you get into niche. In our training for our clients, we talk about red, yellow, green. So red is I'm not going to take them no matter what. Like, I don't care if they have money. They're ready to give it to me. I'm not going to take them. So for us here, that would look like, I own an auto repair shop, and I own a car dealership, and I want you to help me grow my clean company. We just don't do that. That's if you don't own a clean company, we don't help. For you guys, that might be if I'm residential, I don't take commercial bar. Commercial, I don't take residential. Maybe if it's more than an hour away or half hour away or whatever your case may be. If it's less than, you should all have minimums, by the way. If it's less than for commercial, my minimum probably start at 500. The bigger I got, the bigger my minimum get. For residential, probably 250. So that would be red. Like $150, I don't take. Commercial, I don't take. You know, more than 45 minutes away, I don't take. So red is this, I don't take it no matter what. Yellow is if they come to me with money, I will take it. They have a problem I can solve. I want to solve it. I will take their money. It's fine. So a lot of you guys, vacation rental can be a great yellow, right? If they come to me and I don't have to do anything and they're a good client, they're a good core values, matching the price, everything else is good. Oh, that's fine. That's fantastic, right? And then green is, this is what I'm going to spend all my time and money trying to attract as clients. So it is okay. So what I would probably do with vacation rental, if that is like more than 25% of my business and I was trying to get under, is I would still keep taking that. I'd make sure that they're priced right, their good core values match, like that. I'm still going to make sure they're a high caliber customer, but I'll take them. I'm just going to spend zero marketing dollars on that. I'm going to spend 100% of my marketing dollars on the clients that I want. So just to be clear, we're like, well, there's a difference between not taking them or whatever. So that's how I go about that. Is green is who we're spending our money on. Be very focused with that. Yellow is I'm not going to spend any money on them, but I will take them. And red is I'm just not going to take them under any circumstances. I just want to make that quick distinction. All right, I think we got time for one more.
Yeah, love that distinction, traffic light distinction there. All right, next question is, what do you say, Mike, when someone is thinking about switching their niche completely? And again, this person, if they listen to the beginning of the podcast, they'll know that residential and commercial isn't a niche, right? But they're doing residential, but they want to jump into commercial, and they're specifically looking into cleaning schools and medical offices. So what they want to know is a bunch of things, but they're worried about switching and needing new equipment and all that. Like, is it worth switching for that drastic of a niche? If they see,
you'll see a lot of cursing, just lots of F-bomb. So I get that question a ton, and it breaks my, and oddly enough, it's almost always from residential to commercial. So I don't know why, but that's 90% of it is the residential. People think the grass is greener on the commercial side. But that's not the case. So I want to encourage you guys. We've been coaching this for 8 years, maybe 9 now. I'm not going to start in 2004, maybe 10. Jeez, I got to see. Oh, wow. And I promise you, if residential was the wrong answer and commercial was the right one, we just couldn't take residential clients. We only coach commercial, right? And we do that. Like, if you came to us, the perfect example of our red client, if you came to us and said, I only want to do moving without clients and I'm not willing to take any other clients, here's my money. I'll pay whatever you want for coaching. We would pass. That's just not someone we're going to take. So we do have standards. Like, it's not like, oh yeah, if you got money, we'll like, she's like, you're going to do what you want. Coach, you can build anybody. So we do have standards. And we would say, if they're no good, we just would tell you. But so we do say that when it comes to one-time cleans. So when it comes to residential and commercial, we take them both because they're both great, right? There's no wrong answer. They're just different. So most of the time, people, when they're residential, they want to go commercial because they think there's quote unquote more money. But I had a buddy of mine that sold, they would do like upholstery and paint for jets, for aircraft. And so his client's pretty wealthy. You know, like, what do your people do? Like, you know, the theme I've noticed, they all smell. I don't know if they smell or not. They all sell very low ticket items, dollar, $2, like gasoline, or like they do something over like scalable stuff where they have thousands or hundreds of thousands of customers, and at a very low ticket price. So again, I'm not saying that everyone has to do that. I'm a more of a high ticket kind of guy. That's not my thing. Maybe that's why I'm not a billionaire. But it doesn't make any sense to go, oh, the average ticket price for residential might be $350 a month, whereas average ticket price for commercial might be 10x, might be $3,500. It's like, yeah, but how many $3,500 clients, potential clients are there in your city, and how many $350 potential clients in their city? I promise you there's more than 10x the residential opportunities than there's a commercial opportunity. So that math of like, because of the contract size is bigger, that's bigger, just doesn't pencil. I will say, if you want to build like a $5 million company in one location, it'd be tough on residential. But why do you have to be one location? Build a bunch of them, right? So to answer your question, almost always never the right answer, because you're doing it for the wrong reasons. You think that's my growth problem. And the real growth problem is I don't have a hiring funnel. Like when I take on new clients, I'm not confident someone's going to be able to clean. I don't have a good client attraction funnel. I don't know how to price. I don't have a good sales system. So usually your system, the processes aren't right. And that sounds like a lot of work to fix. So you'd be like, I'll just go to commercial. That sounds fun. The problem is your same crappy systems that didn't work for residential ain't going to work for commercial. So of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of clients we've had, and tens of thousands of people or millions of people who've impacted by the podcast, I've never met one that said, my problem is I was residential and I was failing and I kept everything the same. I just moved to commercial and that was it. I started succeeding. 100% of the successes are I upgraded my systems and myself as a business owner. That's what changes. Never was it. I went from residential to commercial and that was a trick. So to answer your question, I wish I could. So if you're just looking for fun, yeah, sure, switch everything. Who the heck knows? You know, it'll just be that. But if you're really looking to grow, it's going to be systems and processes and you as an owner and your mindset and your belief. Those are the things that are going to really make a change. So I hate when I give like the least fun answer, but it's like, that's the answer. Trust me, if I was just doing this for clicks or downloads, I would be like, absolutely. I'd just give you the sexy fun answers. But for growth, that's the real one. All right. Questions, comments? Are we? Because I'm here, I can't see the clock, so I have no idea.
We're actually good, Mike. We're all good. And I think you nailed it on that question. It's not just the question they asked, it's the thinking behind it, right? I feel like that from the way they phrased the question, I feel like they needed a quick fix to grow. Like, oh, I'll just like go into commercial too. But yeah, there's a lot more to it than just switching. So love that answer.
Let me give you some quick bonus content because we get this a lot. Silver bulletitis, right? Like just what, like, you know, we'll do a 1 hour call with someone to just see if we can help get clear on their problem, where they're at, where they want to be. And they always want, and this is just natural human beings, right? We want to distill it down. If I just got more, if I just had an operations manager, we want to distill it down into this. It's a multifaceted problem, but that seems hard and complex. And we don't want to do that. So like, we break it down. If I could just get my Facebook ads, right, then I would be great. Or if people in my place just wanted to work and they weren't so lazy, then it'd be great. So I just want to encourage you. It is a multifaceted problem. So don't, silver bullet's super appealing at the beginning, but then you just get, it's like Lucy, for any of you that are old like me, it's like Lucy and Charlie Brown the football, right? He always pulls it away. He always tries to kick and falls on his butt, and then he does it again and again and again. So the silver bullet's fun the first time, but then when you realize that in it and you spend 5, 10, 20 years chasing silver bullet, it gets a crap ton less fun. So just want to encourage you guys. There is a set of systems that will work for sure, but there's no single. If you just get the CRM, that's a salesperson. You just buy my thing, then you'll be, even for us, like, we're like, if you just do a bunch of work and follow the whole set of systems and processes we do and grow as a human, you can change your life. But there is no software. There is no even clients. Oh, if I just get this one big client, then everything will be okay. It's like, I wish, that'd be so great. We would retire immediately if it was that easy to be a millionaire. So, all right, I think I'm done preaching, Lindsay. I'll let you finish anyway you think.
That's all we got for this week, Cleaning Nation. Mike, enjoy the mall or wherever you're at there.
And are we off? Or are we still there?
We're still there.
All right. I was going to say two things. One, if you want your question answered, just email support at growmycleaningcompany.com. Lindsay likes your question. She'll put it on for next week. Two, email us at support. You know, you can email me, Mike, at growmycleaningcompany.com. And just be like, if you like that about Mike, let me know. I'll be like, hey, get behind your microphone. Get back in your office. We hate it. Any feedback you have for the podcast, that's constructive. Don't be a jerk. Feel free to shoot me an email. All right. We're out. Talk to you later.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me. But like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing. Share with a friend. Share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. That's 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now, 602-932-6431. Give me a text, say hey, can't wait to meet you.